Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two already. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's go check in with Captain Mike Jeffcoat, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Mike. What's going on?
I'm headed northbound to Lubbock.
Oh, you're going on your big hunt.
Yep.
Sand hills, geese, ducks, whatever. If it flies, it dies, huh?
Yep, whatever it is.
It all be nice and cool.
Yeah, I hope we can.
How much snow they're going to get up there?
An inch or so. It's nothing drastic.
Oh, well, that's not too
bad. My problem is going to be getting through Fort Worth, probably.
Yeah, because that's
well, look, Fort I looked Worth at it.
It's going to get a bunch of snow, they're saying.
Yeah, but it's going to be ice at first, and that's what kind of concerns me.
That's even worse.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's doom and gloom. Yesterday's all you could hear about, you know. And
did you see 2 days ago they were saying our area was going to get 6 to 8 inches of rain, and now they backed it off to two or three at the most, you know. Why do they do that?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they kind of interfere with people's lives when they do all that.
You think?
But... ain't no different in our politics, so here we go. We'll see what happens. I ain't crazy about Gulf of America, but...
Well, I like it better than Gulf of Mexico.
I know, but it's been that way all our lives, so...
Well, I know. But more of America borders the Gulf than Mexico does. Once you get down below the border, then it turns into the Bay of Campeche.
Is what it is. But no, I missed you Saturday morning. I just couldn't get my phone to answer. I was out there in that river bottom, and I don't know what it was. I couldn't click over other than
well, Blaine covered you. His phone was actually working that morning. He was already out. He had been out since 3:30 in the morning, corning roads, you know, getting everything ready for his hunters.
Right. We get some hunting weather. And here it is.
Yeah, hunting season just about over. And, hey, you wouldn't believe, you know, when I left down there, you know, it was getting 92 to 95 every afternoon. And I had some beautiful hunts. Morning hunts were really, really good hunts. But when this front hit down there, you wouldn't believe the deer they killed. Them big boys came out of the woodwork, man.
I got to hunt. Back in the 80s, I guess. A customer of mine had a place in Freer. I got to go down there each year. He said, you don't want to come to at least the 15th of December. Don't come before then. And
yeah.
I didn't. We went between Christmas and New Year's, same thing. First day we was down there, it was 90 degrees. The next morning, it was 32. And it's like the light switch. Flip the switch.
Came to life, didn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, you know, we got muzzle loading right now, but I'm over that muzzle load. The fun went out of that for me a few years ago, so.
Smoke poles.
But them kids.
I hate those videos, man. Somebody will shoot a big deer on video, and it's all blocked out. Yeah. You don't see the bullet hit because of all the smoke, man.
Yes, exactly. But now, forest fishing, I ain't got nothing to report. I know it's... It got cold and water's muddy and just ain't a whole lot of people fishing right now, you know.
So. Yeah, it's been kind of quiet on social media down there. You know, a couple of guys that are always throwing up table shots, gut shots. But I hadn't seen much of that lately.
When that river jumped, that shut that down for them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Now they don't know what to do now. You know, it's pretty simple, but... We'll let them figure it out. I ain't going to tell them.
You need to go back down there and show them how to do it, man.
Well, I will about March.
About March.
I'm over that fishing this cold weather. You know, it's just like one of my customers called yesterday from Austin. And, actually San Marcos. And they said, you know, be sure you got me in the books for October. I said, you're down. He said, I won't come in the spring, but I ain't going to book no dates you called me when you got the days open and weather's good. He said, because I just, it's so far, you know, to take a chance on that weather down there.
Right.
And I don't blame him. I understand it, you know. A lot of them boys, they don't care about taking your money. I do. I want you to be satisfied when you leave there. I'm sorry.
Don't get that. I don't know. I've never been like that.
No, me neither. You know, it's like all them big corporate trips. Go ahead.
No, I'm watching a crane on TV. And they're raining cranes. One of them, this guy chased it all over the field, finally caught up with it, and then it squared off with him, and he just reached out and just hit it as hard as he could in the head, knocked it down, and picked it up and brought it back to the blind. Punched out a crane. Surprised PETA allowed that on television.
Yeah. I'll never forget that big crane we had out of Brookshire over there, me and Mike Phelps. That was, I mean, it's great. Lubbock's the greatest that there is, but that hunt that morning was absolutely stupid. And, I mean, them birds didn't quit coming. I mean, we was picking up, and them birds are still coming.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the guides was, we knocked them down, and it was two or three of them that stood up. He ran out there and had his gun with him. And that crane squared off on him. He just grabbed it by the barrel, hit him upside the head, and broke the stock off the gun. Yeah. Them cranes are something else.
Well, it's like shooting a B-52 out of the sky.
It is.
They hit the ground. They break stuff.
Yeah. Oh, you can hear them pump, that's for sure. A great thing about out here in Lubbock, or out there in Lubbock, I'm just in Willis, Texas right now.
You leaving today?
Yeah, I'm on the road right now.
Oh, you're headed there today then. Well, maybe you can get there before it gets bad.
Well, it's kind of getting past Lubbock already. My concern is going to be between Wasatchee and Fort Worth. Stretch I'm really concerned about according to that weather this morning.
That's all hilly and, you know.
Yep.
I love that drive through there going out, you know, cutting through those.
Abilene
and all that area. That is so cool looking. Beautiful drive.
Yep. As long as they ain't ice on the road. Yeah. They're talking about the wind's really getting up today.
Oh, I just looked at radar. The pink stuff, I guess that's snow on my radar. It's all from just below Midland through San Angelo through Abilene and almost to Lubbock.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun once you clear west of Fort Worth.
Yep. Well, the great thing about it, you know, Rush was talking about yesterday, well, let's duck off up there. Buffalo, cut over through Waco and come out up there at Abilene. I said, I said, them roads ain't going to be treated. You know, they're just nasty, that stuff. They might have some of them bridges treated, but they ain't going to treat all that road. You know, I'm staying on 45 and then on 20, and they'll treat all that.
All the snows from Lubbock over towards Wichita Falls and Burke Burnett and Bowie and Ardmore and all that. The mix is what I was looking at. That pink stuff's the mix. That's all through Eastland and Abilene, and Sweetwater, and all through there.
Right.
So, yeah, all I can
that
say is good
is
luck, man.
Yeah. That's what Darlene said. Why you leaving so early? Can't get in the lodge at 3 o'clock. I said, yeah, well, it's 8-hour drive.
Well, yeah.
But I don't know what I'm going to catch in between. I might get stuck somewhere, you know.
You might.
My youngest son, he left last night. Yeah, he left last night. He said, don't get as far as he can get. Get rain. The reason he didn't ride with us is he's got to leave there Sunday and go to Midland. So, yeah, I'll talk to him later on, see where he's laid up at. Other than that, all is good. So I ain't got no fishing report. I ain't got no deer hunting report, really. I mean, seen a lot of deer.
Did anybody end up getting a good deer off y'all's lease this year?
Yeah, they was 210 points. That was really nice. And that deer that Rustin killed. Rustin's deer probably the best deer killed.
Right.
But that was a 10-point. The young lady got to shoot a really nice 10-point.
Good.
So, like I said, you know, they finally, the migrants went away, and them deer come back to that corn. I had two good hunts. That was a weekend, but never did see nothing I wanted to kill. I'd kill a spike. We got a bunch of spikes on camera, but they didn't show up. They must know that I was in killing mood. I just wanted some meat, but none of them showed up.
A real good deer I saw out of one blind on one hunt. He was too far out to take a shot at him. And that deer, a customer ended up getting that 3 days ago down there at Blaine's, and it was a 10-point with real weak brow tines. He was nice and wide with good tine length everywhere but his brows, and he ended up scoring 151. That was a personal best. No, there's nothing. Free open range deer, there's nothing wrong with it. Plus, it's a good, you know, 6-7-year-old deer.
Right.
Time to go.
Absolutely. Now
they're
spoiled this year.
Mike, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. It's unbelievable.
Old school.
We came back. Blaine picked us up one morning on this one ranch, and we just come down the county road. And after we came out of the gate of that ranch going back to the lodge, it's about a 10-minute drive. We counted 62 coveys. That's on the county road. That's not even counting all his Sendaras. I'm sitting there hunting, and I'd see 20, 30 coveys during a hunt just, you know, crossing Sendaras. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, it is.
Well, it's the most he's ever had in the 42 years he's been down there. He's never seen it like this.
I need to call him, see if he's got any help. I'd like to do quail hunting.
Yeah, he might want to squeeze in. I don't know whether he's got any openings or not after deer season this weekend. I think he is.
Probably not.
He's cramming them in there, man.
Well, I don't like it. If you got it. Use it.
Yeah, and
that's a great thing
about
that.
The guys that come down there, they come from all over the country. You know, they just fly down there in their Learjets and land at the airport,
right,
and he picks them up.
You know, that's like me being in Venice. I mean, I've gotten brought up. It's just, you know, it's getting weather related more and more, it seems like, every year, or I'm just getting older.
Right.
And it affects me, you know. I don't think it's changed that much. But other than that, east wind, and we talked about it. I mean, boy, and that's a killer for me.
Yeah.
Because that west side, it's limited now what you can do on that west side, especially after when the river comes back up. That west side, you're very limited. If you don't go all the way to the end of the river, you're gonna struggle. Cause all the ponds and everything that's on the west side, they're gone.
Right.
There's not a pond one. Well, there's one. If you can get into it, that's the problem, getting into it. And I always knew that. Photos, but that hurricane, that last hurricane we had down there opened it up. You get in there, but the stubble in it so bad.
Yeah.
You wind up spooking more fish with your trolling motor because of that stubble.
Yes. Yep, prop hitting that stuff, making noise.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, Mike, be safe, brother. I hope you, if you're up for it, I'd like to call you and see how y'all are doing Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah. Give me a break.
How long y'all going to hunt? 3 days?
3 days.
Okay. All right,
man. You know, it's kind of like going to Venice, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to drive all the way to Venice one day or fish one day. Same thing.
No.
Look, you can have a bad hunt. You can have a bad day. it's hunting. It's not killing, it's hunting.
That's
so
true.
The weather can get you, the birds don't move. So there ain't no guarantee.
All right, Mike. Well, hey, throw out some info. Somebody wants to call you about fishing Venice with you this year.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web, RJ Hunting and Fishing. And my spring dates are starting to fill up pretty good, so if you want in on it,
okay,
give me a call.
All right, buddy. Well, safe travels.
Thank you, sir. Be safe.
All right. Good luck. See you, man.
Later.
All right. That's Mike Jeffcoat. Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And just stop by Boyd's, check it out. You know, if you're going fishing, that bait from their tanks to your live well is good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store, all their different size bottles. All their regulators, diffusers, they refill right there at the store. For more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. While you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. No farmed raised at Boyd's. If you're looking for the big 9-12 count or the 15-18s, whatever size shrimp you're looking for, Boyd's is going to have it. Great price, great availability. And their Cajun Grill next door put out some really good food there, folks. And crawfish, when they have them, they have some really good bowl of crawfish there. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 520 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go check in with Captain James Plogg, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, James. What are you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
Nothing, man.
Well, you get enough dove birds?
Man, I finally had to leave.
leave before you went to jail?
I was just like, man. I'll probably go back. I talked to Kenny. Of course, they're all still there. And I said, that front move them. He said, no, there's just more of them. I said, man. But it's, you know, it's been so nasty cold down there. They hunting in the afternoon. Bear never go in the, you know, they've been hunting in the morning a little bit. Kenny said it's too cold.
Yeah, it is kind of chilly.
But, yeah, it's really, really good, man. I don't know. I may go back. I may. A lot of times we'll go down there and try to hunt the last day. You know, a lot
right.
of times. So I might go back down there, but you can go back to work. But it's, man, it's pretty nice. I finally found, you know what they're, I was playing with that fish weather deal. What they're trying to do is get you to pay for that.
Yeah.
And I guess eventually you're going to have to. I don't know what it's going to be, but you see that? Because they got all the stuff, but they won't give it to you all the time. You got to keep dealing with it.
Well, I got the app on my phone, and I just get the wind direction and the wind speed. But they always want you to upgrade and pay for some app to get everything.
Yeah, but that's what they're going to end up doing to us, where you're not going to get nothing.
Well, I'll switch somebody else.
But they got good water. I finally found the water temperature. I knew what it was anyway, but it was 48 at Eagle Point. I guess you saw it.
Right.
And I ain't had a boat in the water, but I talked to Larry. They went duck hunting or something the other morning, and it was 46 in Chocolate or Bastrop or wherever they went hunting.
Yeah, those smaller bays will get cooler, yeah.
Yeah, so it's whatever it is, but it's just been raw.
Well, it's been cold, man, and windy, just raw.
Yesterday was bad. It was cloudy. One morning I went and ran. It was nice. I mean, well, let me back up. It wasn't nice, but it was like 10 o'clock, and I put enough stuff on, and it was like 43 when I started. Of course, you know, I end up getting hot, but it was not terrible. It was sunny, but yesterday, there was no sun. It was cloudy.
You got some light rain down there on the island right now?
Yeah, I heard it raining in the rain too just a minute ago.
You know, since I went on air, it's warmed up 3 degrees. And when that rain hit, it came up 3 degrees.
Yeah, well, it's like 45 is what it is.
49 now is what it's showing in G-Town.
Really?
Yeah, your high today is going to be 56.
man, I may have to go out and just maybe just swim in the canal. It's going to be so
Yeah, nice. It's going to be nice. 56, let's roll. in
man,
the rain.
I ain't been, man, I got no reports, no nothing. I'm thinking about the work. I just ain't ready yet. I got to get my mind wrapped around this because when I start, I start.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how, you know, if I think I can catch them, we're going. But
right.
I ain't geared back up yet. I think the second week, I think I go back to work. I'll be ready. I'll be mad at them then. But to fishing this kind of stuff, you got to. Well, you've done it your whole life. You got to be mentally ready for it. You know, when I want to get going.
Hey, back in the good old days, man, I could just slide in and turn the corner and pop out on dowels, cut about three drifts, and catch all the trout on mirror lures I wanted, and then get back in and warm up.
Yeah. Well,
and doing an all-day deal in this? Nah, I don't know about that anymore.
Man, you know, once you get going, the whole deal is getting started, even, you know.
Yeah, it's getting a boat in and just making that first run and getting acclimated to it. And, you know, if you got good gear, it's doable, but, man. Yeah.
Well, when the fish is good, like them December runs, you know, my fall runs, and, of course, I go every day.
Right.
The hardest getting out of that warm truck, man.
It is, isn't it?
Like
getting all your gear on, layering up.
Yeah, but once you finally do it and you get ready, and you know the fish is, you know your fish to catch them. It ain't an issue about catching them.
No, you know you're going to get them, but it just, how mad are you, you know?
Oh, it's tough, man.
How big a boy are you?
With them toe warmer things, I mean, hand warmers, I got, you know, since I got messed up, my extremities, my hands and my feet just get super, super cold, man. So I got to have them hand, but them toe warmers, them things are money. Their money, that, and I bought them by mistake. I didn't know what the hell have I bought here, man. And then the first ones I messed up trying to put in there because I didn't know what I was doing. Then I finally read the directions. But anyway, that helps a whole lot. And, you know, of course, I'm not be doing too much boat fishing, so I got the right kind of socks for wading and stuff.
Right. Well, last couple of days I've been wearing wool socks. You talking about drying your feet out, man. I got out of bed to come to work this morning. That alarm went off, and I stepped down on that carpet, and I go, what did I step on? I didn't step on anything. I had a little bitty one of those dry cracks in the bottom of my foot right there around the arch.
I can't believe
that thing hurts
so bad.
I'm hobbling in there, and, man, I'm digging around. I find that box of Band-Aids and a Neosporin, and put it on there and put that Band-Aid on and got my socks on. I'm good to go. I culled them wool socks. They just dry my feet out in the wintertime.
And I don't think it's wool socks. You ain't going to believe it. When y'all call me, what is this called? It's called Badger Balm for cracking hands and feet. My feet are split open everywhere, dude.
Well, my hands don't crack anymore since I quit duck hunting, you know, handling, you know, getting them muddy and then handling them birds and stuff. That'd get that, you know, bad cracks in the wintertime. But that's the first time my feet have dried out like this. Of course, I hunted every day in South Texas, and it was dry down there. And it just, I can't believe how much one little bitty tiny crack in the bottom of your foot hurts that bad.
Dude, they hurt. And a lot of my stuff, too, is from the swimming pool.
Yeah, chlorine. Dude. Chlorine will dry you out.
Chlorine. But my hands, I can't tell you how many doves that I've actually cleaned for everybody down there.
That'll mess your hands up, dove and coil cleaning.
Oh, my hands are destroyed.
This time of year.
Destroyed. I got Band-Aid stuff all over. But I'd rather have that and have them old computer hands where you ain't getting nothing.
Neosporin is a wonder drug when it comes to stuff like that. I mean, you put that on there and then wrap it with a Band-Aid, and it takes the soreness right out, and it's healed up in one day. Boom.
It's done. The best. I got tubes and tubes and tubes. If I ever get shot, I'm just going to pump that hole full of Neosporin.
Hey, just pump it full of Neosporin, put a Band-Aid over it.
Ain't that the truth, man? It's really good stuff. I don't know about this Badger Balm stuff. I found it the other day. Somebody gave it to me. I ain't never used it. It says, here's what it says on the can. This stuff works. So, we'll see.
Oh, was we'll that stuff I used to get for my hands in hunting season? It was some kind of crack cream, and it worked
crack
pretty
cream.
Good.
I got some, but it's not as good as Neosporin, though.
No, it's heck not. No. And not Cornhuskers just lotion works pretty good on dry feet and hands, too.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put a bunch of this stuff on. Man, you know, I think I'm pushing off on the side of the pool. You know, you're rubbing your feet anyway.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was down there with you. It was dry, man, dry down there. But
boy, was that anyway. The driest you've ever seen it down there. The humidity in the mornings was 15%. That's why we didn't have any fog.
When I left that one morning, when the front had hit, I guess Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. When I left Sunday, the front was just hitting. We hunted Sunday morning, and then I left. Kenny stayed. And that wind come up out of the north really hard. And, dude, it was like a dust storm. It was.
That's what Blaine said when that north wind hit. It was like fog. You couldn't even see. There was so much sand in the air.
There was. It was crazy, man. The whole inside of my truck, my eyes. It wasn't bad in the morning when we were hunting. And then, you know how the front goes. Then it came, you know, high pressure started building in. And I was ready to leave, man. My eyes were full of dirt. Told Kenny, I said, man, I'm gone, dude. I'm getting out of this dust storm. But I was just talking to cameraman, the rock star, MJ pulled in there to the marina yesterday in his boat. And so he's there fishing the tournament. It's fixing to be on, man. It's fixing to be big time. Well, but they are getting some bite. Well, Jordan's boat's called the Catch 23. It's an 82 Bayless.
Oh.
And they had a video of him pulling into the marina, you know, at Cameron's marina where he's at.
Right.
I don't know if he's talked to him. I mean, I think he walks by the boat in the morning. But the Rockstar starts today's Thursday. It starts tomorrow. Big money. There's going to be like probably $1.6 million in it, $1.4 million.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the daily's going to pay $300. But he said the bite down there on the front of this moon yesterday, really starting yesterday, a little bit day before yesterday, but like yesterday, it went off, man. You know, everybody's seeing 6 or 7 marlins, 40 or 50 sailfish. It's crazy.
Oh,
he said it's insane. Yeah, I think, what did they catch yesterday? 3 blues, 15 sails.
Boy, Cameron's in his element.
Yeah, he's down there with Vince, and they'll fish this tournament. And then I think Rod and them go down there on a charter. But they've been fishing he left out here on the 2nd. And they started fishing Monday. So they've been fishing since Monday. And every day it's gotten a little bit better. But I talked to one of my guys, one of my good customers and friends. He's in Guatemala fishing. Same. Just going off, man. The bite's going off.
Man.
It's funny how you get on the front. In anything, you get on the front of them moons. When it starts getting good, everything starts biting, you know. The trout's bite. And we check around, you know, when the bite gets slow here, you know, Cameron knows everybody all over the planet. And you just start calling around. And, man, nah, it was slow. You know, a couple people caught some fish, but it was basically slow. It seems like, man, when it gets slow, no matter what you're fishing for, it's slow everywhere. It's just slow. I mean, somebody always walks into them. You know that. But basically, it's slow, you know. And you can tell when the bite starts going off, everybody starts getting them. It's pretty funny how that works, man.
Well, it makes it exciting. Kind of levels the playing field.
Makes it easy for everybody,
instead of one boat getting them. Everybody's getting them.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a deal. How many, you know, you got to land on them. You know, if you can be the first boat to land on them. And then you got to catch what you see, man. If you see 30, you better catch 27 of them. You better catch 26 of them. You see 30 and catch 15 of them, you're done. You can't win. Those guys down there are too good.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a marlin tournament. It's kind of like I sent Larry that deal with that spectacular tournament. I was going to fish that thing just because Cameron was here. You know me, I ain't no tournament man no more. I fish these little West Bay tournaments because that's where it is, and I'm fishing anyway. But then they throw a redfish in there. I said, man, I ain't doing that. Now you turn your trout tournament into a redfish.
A redfish tournament. Exactly. Why not just have one or the other?
Exactly. You go throw a red, and the legends do that. I don't know why. I don't know why. I mean, it don't mean that you're any better. I mean, if you're in a trout tournament, you're in a trout tournament. Redfish tournament, go redfishing. You can have you know, you'd be better off going and getting 9 pounds of trout, go try to catch you a 9 pound red.
Mm-hmm.
So really you're red fishing. I said, no, I ain't fishing in that. You know that. Hell, the guys cut. We had to catch a trout, but at the end of the day, it was a redfish tournament. You had them two red.
Well, after about 20 years of it, I figured out how to really do good in it and win in it is go get your reds first and then hope your trout are still biting after you get your reds and go get your trout.
100%. And that
you
one
didn't have those two reds? I remember that one year I had five trout that went 42 pounds. And still lost because I couldn't get one red.
You couldn't get your reds. I remember that.
But I needed two. But all I needed was a 3 pound red to put me way over. But it just wasn't in the cards. I mean, how are you gonna pull your team that you drew off a 7 and 8 pound trout every cast to go look for nasty reds?
Well, what we had to do.
Well, I tell you who I had that year was old Jim Riley and Ronnie Mostyn. Them, they said we ain't leaving these trout. Not for reds. We don't care if we win or not. We had never caught trout like this.
I don't blame you. It's hard to do, man, because, you know, you can't, you know, if you're pre-fishing, what are you going to go pre-fish for red? You pre-fish for trout? You know, you need to just be fishing every day anyway.
Yeah.
But I didn't have no reds, and the reds I was catching, they were like 28 inches, and they were big. You could have won, you know where I was fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You could have won any kind of redfish tournament because you did it. But they weren't 27 and a half. They were 28 inches.
Yep.
I said, man, I ain't doing that.
Well, hey, man.
That's it, buddy.
If somebody wants to get with you, it's won't be long. We'll be talking about miserable spring fishing, especially April.
ain't that the truth? Fish will be better this year, though. Every year it's going to get a little bit better. But, yeah, I'm trying to fill my old February, March, April calendar.
All right. Throw your number out. Somebody wants to call you and do some fill-ins.
All right, brother. 409-771-7306.
Or just have one rich guy just book you for the whole year, put you on retainer, whether you go or not.
I like that.
That'd be a dream.
Come on, buddy.
That'd be a dream come true. All right, brother. Well, James, have a good day, man. Put on some of that crack cream. Go get with it, man.
Take care of them feet, buddy. We got to take care of them feet.
That's it, dog. Later, man.
Hey, what was that? What was that? Forrest Gump, old Garrison needs to look. Most important thing here, take care of your feet. Remember that, Forrest
Yeah,
Gump?
I said use that foot powder and OD green socks.
That's it, man. All right, dude, I'll holler at you.
Lieutenant Dan. All right, see you, man. All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks with same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish. Whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground up construction, Allied has you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales@alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 541 here in the Bayou City. Final segment. No better way to wrap her up than with old Sharky Marquez. Michael, tell me some stories, man.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, I love it, man. Brother, it's cold. Other than that, that's about what I know at the moment.
Cold and rainy on Galveston Island.
Cold and rainy, man. We spent, the last 2 days in a row. We pulled all the boats out for this first cold front.
Right.
We thought it was going to get real nasty. And, man, we've been slow, so we've been utilizing our time. We redid our bottom jobs on a couple of the boats, and I'm hoping to get mine cleaned up. It'll be on the trailer for maybe till Saturday, depending on the weather Friday. But, man, we did servicing. We replaced, saw a little bit of some corrosion on some steering cables, so replaced those on our 26 Sea Hunt yesterday. And freezing cold, buddy.
Oh, man. Knuckle-busting weather. Boy, it hurts when wrench slips. Oh, boy.
I'm telling you, man. I did something. I smashed my finger. Did something yesterday. It wasn't a bad one, but, man, that sucker hurt for, like, all 7 hours we were outside.
Cold weather, man. It makes a difference.
Yeah. But, you know, other than that, Mickey, I'm looking, and, man, right after this nasty front we're fixing to get, it looks like there's a little bit of a window.
Yeah, Sunday it looks like it's going to warm up for you a little bit on Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, wahoo, baby.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking,
uh-oh.
Yeah. That's the plan. I don't want to say it too loud. But that's the plan, leaving out on Saturday evening, you know, getting out to where we need to be when that sun rises, buddy, and trolling some ballyhoo, trolling some nomads, and seeing if we can get some line screamers out mm-hmm. there. So that is what I'm working on right now.
Right now, at the close buoy, you got a 3-foot sea with 4 seconds.
I'm not sure if I'd want to do that 100 miles, but...
No, not 4-second periods. That's kind of close together.
Yeah, that's...
There'll be a few with concrete in the bottom of them, man.
Well, I'm hoping this stuff blows through, and, you know, it does look like that wind just dies down to almost nothing, you know, the calm after the storm on Saturday, Sunday, so...
Yes.
We'll see, man. If we can make it happen, that would be a huge blessing. We're itching to get out there. That's a fact. So we'll see what's cooking there. But ready for some better weather, man. Ready for some more fishing, man. Us guys, we go stir crazy when the weather's bad. So
yes,
the good thing about having a bunch of boats is, buddy, there is always about 12 things to do. It's not just one. There's always a lot of things to do. So.
Man, just owning one boat or two boats is a nightmare.
Yeah,
I can only imagine you trying to keep six in seaworthy condition.
That's right.
You know, because what we do, you got to make sure all your stuff's right, man. I mean,
you do, man.
Safety issues, just the safety factor of it.
Yep, that is exactly right, man. Seaworthy, clean. You know, we pride ourselves on having nice and clean boats, and you know, folks aren't hopping in and having to sit in a puddle of blood and stuff. So even like in between trips, you know.
I'm not going to name any names, but I know some guys that are filthiest boats I've ever seen in my life. I'm going, my gosh, how can you do that?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
I mean, gut wagons. Look like crabber editions. Crab boats.
Oh, gosh.
Trashed out.
You won't see that over here, man. We try our best to keep everything nice and tip top and 5-star, and so.
Well, yeah, if I'm gonna pay you to go fishing, I at least want to get on a clean boat, and then I'll help you mess it up.
That's right. Know? We don't like to end with a super clean boat, but we love to start with one. You know.
No, it's always a good sign when you come in, your boat's all bloodied up. That's a good sign. Gut wagon.
That's right, man. That's right. So it's been fun, Mickey. We're excited about.
I know. I'm so jealous of you guys. I'm on the tail end of this stuff, and y'all are just getting going good. Y'all are so enthusiastic and pumped up all the time. I wish I could get like that.
Well, come fishing with me on Saturday and Sunday, man. Let's go catch a
wahoo. You just do it so long, it just becomes routine. You'll know what I'm talking about after you get about 10 or 12 years under your belt. You'll know. You'll see it. And then you get 40 under your belt, and you're going, man, why am I still doing this?
There you go.
Can't get away from it. Just can't get away from it.
Shoot, I've been guiding since the day I was 18, and I'm coming up real close to 30, so I'm – I put some years in a while, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
I always think
you know,
of you being like 23, 24 years old.
It gets old doing the maintenance and service. I love fishing, but dang, keeping up with these things, that's what gets old for me, you know?
Yeah, I've got a few buddies that had a lot of bad luck with their boats and engines and everything this year and the money they had to spend. Man, it's a game.
It is a game, man. It's you know, one thing breaks and it's like, oh my gosh, there's all that.
Yeah,
there's any money that we
made. It comes in threes and fours. It's everything.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I wouldn't have it any other way, man. I'll tell you that.
Nah,
I mean, it's a big wave that we're
it's
riding.
Part of the profession.
That's right.
And the more you fish, the more you tear stuff up.
That's right. And the bigger fish you catch, the more they tear stuff up too, man. You put
exactly.
a 300-pound fish in the boat, it starts. It'll do some damage. Oh, good stuff, man.
I remember I gaffed a big old dolphin one time. Big old knot on his head. It's about a 30-pounder. I gaffed him right almost through the eyeballs, and I slung him up in the boat and turned him loose. He got between the leaning post and the console, and he beat the doors out of that. And I can't believe the glass didn't break. Whatever they made that glass out of in those doors, you know, those bottom doors on the console.
Oh, that old school stuff.
Yeah, that old Hydrosport I had.
Yeah.
Beat the doors out, broke the teak wood, but it didn't break the glass.
Golly.
That fish was a little bit green.
Shoot, man, if you can see a 30-pound mahi in the Gulf, man, you got that thing on the line. There ain't no use in playing around with it. If you can get it in the boat, get it in the boat, buddy.
Man, I had a pattern that year right at, you know, out of the pass. There the weed line would work up. About 22 miles out every day, and you troll down it with ballyhoos, and you can see them big dolphins jumping out of the water coming to those baits, and they're just,
man, that's incredible.
Hold on, folks, fix to get bit,
fix to get hooked up, buddy.
Big ones too. I mean,
awesome,
you know,
man.
Anywhere from 17 to 30 pounds every day. You get two or three of them there, guaranteed.
Oh, that sounds like heaven, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it was. That was some good fishing back then.
Golly. Well, you know, I just, I hear these stories, you know, and I'm like, daggum, man. And I wonder, you know, what it's going to be like in 30 years, you know, for my kids and grandkids,
you know
maybe
the only
someday.
Thing is, worries me about, you know, what I see you guys going through in the Gulf now is the kingfish populations. I mean, used to be the bread and butter thing. Just take people
I'm
out
telling
with semi-light
you,
tackle and just melt the reels down for 4 or 5 hours just on schools of kings. And I'm not seeing
Yeah,
that
I think
anymore.
It's been everywhere, man. Mickey,
I mean, it's
I
the whole Gulf. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. I think the people in Louisiana, I think, all the way down in Port A. I mean, I think for the most part, I believe that most of the Gulf has been affected. I mean, I don't know, from 5 years ago even. Man, 5 years ago guiding and hitting the close rigs. I mean, you're talking about being able to see the beach at Galveston and just freaking catching 30 of those things, you know, like it was nothing.
Or any shrimp boat you get. Any shrimp boat that was tied up and it culled out, I mean, just pull up and melt down, man.
Yeah, that's right. And I haven't seen that in a while, man. I don't know. You know, our fisheries is I don't know what's going on with it, but, man, I mean.
Snapper eating a prop off the boat.
yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Them big ones, too, buddy.
Boy, those were some great catches you had right before the season closed.
Thanks, man. It was, a lot of fun getting out there. Yes, we were. Them suckers were big and hungry, man, and you didn't even have
beautiful,
to go that far.
Beautiful
so.
Fish. Golly.
Yes, sir. They were large. My buddy Bill, you know, Bill Platt rolled by and he hung out with us one day when we were when we were filleting all those hogs.
He's such a great guy. Boy, and a kingfish machine. I bet you he can tell you about kingfish.
Shoot, yeah. I've got a I went in and sat down with him and did a we filmed a little video kind of talking about his story and stuff, and I'm super excited. That was a while ago, but I need to edit that sucker and post it, man. He's got a really cool kind of just start off like just everybody else, you know. His big thing was fishing the dike and, you know, shoot my dad as a kid, you know, just going out there. His dad would drop him off on the dike and, you know, have a pound of dead shrimp and catch what you could catch. That's, you know, it. I mean,
I know. Just, well, Sharky, I'm out of time, brother. I got to roll out of here, brother. Man. Hey, throw out some info.
Well, have a blessed one, man. Hey, yeah, hop on our website, guys. It's OutcastFishingWithNoGCharters.com. You can check out our trip packages, pricing, and availability. And everybody have a blessed and safe rest of your week. And hopefully we'll be able to get out there and bust up some wahoo sometime this weekend. But,
right,
man,
buddy.
Be blessed, brother. We'll talk
later.
To you soon, man.
See you, man.
Later,
all
Gator.
Right. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. Be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.